Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a loaded Friday live in Los Angeles. It is the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1, it is a pleasure to have you in today. What a treat that game was last night. What an absolute treat. Maybe I'm just becoming more appreciative in COVID of anything other than isolation. I had a ball watching that game with a buddy last night. Had an absolute ball watching the Chargers and the Raiders.
No way. That game was so fun.
It was so fun.
It was crazy. Marcus Mariota comes out, like, from where? Running all over the place, making big plays, and then, of course, turns the ball over. It was wild. I loved it.
I know. Sometimes, everybody was criticizing the NBA bubble, and I'm like, are you kidding me? We're in a pandemic. We got virtual fans, and I get to watch this NBA basketball with all this intensity. I'm like, I'm having the time of my life locked into my house.
It's wonderful.
So I want to start with this. I remember watching Charles Barkley in his first couple years in the NBA. He played in Philadelphia, and he didn't have all the games on all the time. So you'd see highlight. We didn't have YouTube. You didn't have Google. You didn't have all the cable stuff where you'd see every game every night. But I remember getting glimpses of him. And he could shoot jumpers. He could score in transition. He had a big butt. He could score down low. And I remember thinking, watching him, I'm like, God, points come so easy to Charles Barkley. He could score out. He could score in. He scores in transition. He could dribble for a big guy. And I'm like, good God, what can't he do? That reminds me of Justin Herbert. He's big. He's strong. He can run. He's 6'6". It shouldn't look this easy for a rookie with no preseason. It should not look this easy. Joe Burrow's good. It doesn't look easy. Baker Mayfield's got talent. Tua's got talent. It doesn't look easy. Josh Allen is exceptional. Do you remember his rookie year? He completed 52% of his throws. He had more picks than touchdowns. It was never easy for Josh Allen. Okay, this just is easy. This is throw and catch. And I want to hear about the Raiders' defense. It shouldn't look like this. This is not the way it's supposed to look. First of all, the great news for when you get a great quarterback, it creates clarity. So the Chargers will know going forward, if you're not scoring enough points, you got to fire the offensive coordinator. And if you're not winning enough games, you got to fire the head coach. If you get a guy like Mitch Trubisky, it's finger pointing. I thought Matt Nagy was a good coach. Maybe he's not. Is it the offensive line? Is our GM clueless? Trubisky wins games, but it's always question marks. You drive to the facility now with the Chargers knowing, if we don't win and score, then it's got to be the coordinator or the coach, or we have a bad offensive line. It creates complete clarity. When Andrew Luck showed up and he was winning, but you weren't winning enough, it's like, oh, they had to fire the GM. GM's not good enough. We got to get rid of the coach. When you get one of these once-a-decade talents, Trevor Lawrence, if he doesn't win in New York, you're going to be like, okay, we got the wrong coach or the wrong GM or a bad offensive line. And listen, I like Anthony Lynn. I know Anthony Lynn, but they've lost 16 one-possession games in 2 years. Atlanta, Detroit, those are the two other teams that kept losing close games. They fired their coaches. I think Anthony Lynn's in trouble. I thought he took the ball out of Justin Herbert's hands last night. I mean, good God, they couldn't stop him. He stopped using him. Then when they went back to overtime, they're like, all right, kid, crank it up. Boom, they won the game. I didn't love that. I didn't think it was a great night for Anthony Lynn. But here's the good news for the Chargers, is that this kid is so talented. I mean, there's three organizations right now. The Jets are going to get Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to get a coach. The Texans have Deshaun Watson, and they're going to get a coach. And the Chargers have Justin Herbert and may get a coach. Boy, Los Angeles becomes very attractive. If Brian Daboll's out there or an Urban Meyer, you live in L.A., it's a built-to-win roster, you're just losing close games, Herbert's only getting better. Very rarely do you take over a job in the NFL and get this, or Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence. You end up taking over a job and getting a quarterback who's probably a backup that you forced into a starter, and you got to draft one, and you can whiff on the first one. That's a very Cleveland experience, or No. The Texans, the Jets, and the Chargers. You got a star ready to win. And this kid, unlike Deshaun Watson, never had injuries. And this kid, unlike Trevor Lawrence, we've already seen him play in the NFL. Charger ownership is very sensitive. They can't sell tickets. They've gotten a lot of negative press for the move from San Diego, where I do think they fit better. So Charger ownership, prove us wrong. Prove us wrong. Because if you can't win with that kid, then you got the wrong coach. If you can't score a lot of points with that kid, then you've got the wrong offensive coordinator. Because it does not look like that for a rookie. Ever. Elway didn't look like that. Nobody looks like that. Mahomes didn't even play his first year. That's not what it's supposed to look like. I mean, the only time he wasn't flying up and down the field is when the coach took the ball out of his hands. So do what you want with Anthony Lynn. I worry about the one possession losses. That's you know, as games get late, the decisions get harder. I don't know. But I'm just sitting there and I'm like, this has such a Barkley feel to it. The kid's big. Quarterback sneak, he's great. Run him, he's great. Arm, great. 4.2 biology major. Brainiac, great. I said, he's Andrew Luck, but a way better arm. That's unbelievable. All right, so I want to talk about John Gruden for a second. I know John. I like John. But the Raiders have been blown out 14 times by 17 or more since he took over the Raiders. Only the Jets have been blown out more. I just want that to sit there for a second. Raiders get blown out a lot. And we are seeing a trend now, and I am not a believer, as Joy is my witness, in coincidences. Things happen, and when they happen over and over and over and over again, they happen for a reason. The Raiders and Gruden are getting worse at the end of years. Assuming the Raiders miss the playoffs, I want to read this to you. It'll be the third time John Gruden has coached a team, started 6-3 and missed the playoffs. The 98 Raiders, the 2008 Bucks, the 2020 Raiders. I am not counting this team. It should be four, but they started 6-4. Since the NFL expanded playoffs in 1990, there's been 140 teams that have started 6-3. No other coach in the NFL in that stretch. Three times has done that and missed the playoffs, except Gruden. Now, why do they keep getting bad at the end of seasons? Now, I could go with a bunch of hunches. You know, does Gruden's personality wear people out? That seems like kind of a reach, right? There's a lot of personalities that Nick Saban wears you out. His teams are good late. You know, Belichick can be harsh. His teams are good late. Is it possible or is it probable that Gruden's an average coach and he's more media marketing maven than football genius? Listen, Chucky, best-selling team, TV star. Brian Billick and Gruden won a Super Bowl. They're both known as offensive guys, but their Super Bowl teams were about defense. One guy, without the big personality, Billick never got another job. John gets a 10-year deal. Why? Because he used television to leverage himself into another job. I'm not saying he's a bad coach, but we've always elevated him to kind of a level that, why do his teams get bad late? Let me ask you this. Is that every boss I've ever had, the more I'm around him, the better I get. Bill Belichick is the best late season coach in the NFL. I could argue Sean Payton is second. Why? Because the longer Belichick teaches and mentors young men, the better they get. That makes sense, right? The longer Sean Payton, who struggles like Belichick in September, the longer Sean Payton has his team, he's a great coach, a great boss, the better they get. It makes sense. Every boss I've ever had, the more I'm with him, the better I get. With Gruden, the more he barks and teaches, the worse his teams get. Maybe he's just an average coach who's got great media. We know the media can sway and alter and bend narratives. But in September, Gruden wins 57% of his games. You know what he wins in December? 38% of his games. It's not supposed to go this way. He says, if you look at Gruden's career, He's slightly above 500. His last playoff win was 18 years ago. The last two playoff games he was in, wild card games, he lost. I mean, he took a Super Bowl roster, tweaked the offense, and won. Does that make him a genius? He had a best-selling book. He's absolutely wonderful on TV. He's great. The quarterback camp is great. Monday Night Football has never felt the same. No shot at anybody. It just doesn't feel as good. We see the media do this all the time. They play favorites. The media likes people who are verbal and talk. The media loves Daryl Morey of the Houston Rockets because he talks and he makes our job easy. Gruden makes our job easy. He's got great quotes. He's likable. He's got a bunch of media friends. You know, is it possible he's just an average coach? It's just what he is. That's what the numbers say. Not everybody that's won a Super Bowl is a genius. Brian Billick, another offensive genius, won a Super Bowl. Why didn't he get second and third chances? Because he didn't leverage his TV personality into another job. If your teams consistently get worse, the more the players are around you, how in the world could I call that a great coach? That's not the way it was with Don Coryell or Andy Reid or Sean Payton or Bill Belichick. The more you get of them, the better you are. Here's Gruden after.
I have a one-track mind, and that involves winning. And this is going to help us in some ways, but it's really, really painful right now to lose. And we've had a lot of tight games go down to the buzzer. And this one was tough. You got to win these tight games, and oftentimes that's a reflection on the head coach.
I'm not saying he's a terrible coach. He won a Super Bowl. But I see this a lot. And it's ridiculous to deny this. The media, they've done studies on it. More media people, you know, lean left than right. There can be a Fox News, but that's a fact. And here's the second thing that's true about the media, because I've been in it 30 years. They like people who make their job easier. I'm as guilty as anybody. I go to the talkers. Gruden's just big and funny and great in the mic and says things, and he's kind of available. And his teams get worse the more they're around him. That doesn't sound like a great coach to me. Coming up next, the Saints were just tricking us. Little gamesmanship by the Saints this week. Blazing 5, top of next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
New streaming service called Discovery Plus starting next year, U.S. only. You're going to get some exclusive originals and then stuff on it like the Food Network, HGTV. So I'm not into your words. I'm into your actions. A lot of people talk, yep, yep, yep. How do you act? Sean Payton, love Taysom Hill. This guy's unbelievable. Drew Brees is starting this week. Little gamesmanship by the Saints. If he's starting this week, they knew he was starting on Monday or Tuesday. The quote today, Drew Brees will start against the Chiefs. Cleared him to play. He's fully healthy. He wasn't banged up on Monday and now can play on Friday. Gamesmanship. He had Kansas City and the Chiefs looking at Taysom Hill footage, and now they're going to play Drew Brees. This tells me a couple things. This is what Sean Payton really thinks of Taysom Hill. He's a really cool chess piece. That's it. There's nothing wrong with that. He's unique. He's cool. I can play around. I can show you how smart I am. But in the end, he's got a better arm than Drew, indisputable, and a significantly better athlete than Drew, that's not arguable, and they score fewer points with Taysom Hill. He's a chess piece. That's what he is. By the way, the Saints aren't getting the number one seed. This team is uniquely built to win on the road, nor is home as advantageous as it has been now because no fans. I don't know why they don't play Taysom Hill. I actually disagree with this. When Sean Payton decided to use Taysom Hill and everybody said, whoa, 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 I said, he's smarter than me. Let's just watch. They're paying Taysom Hill. He wanted to get him starts and reps. What do I have? I'm paying for. I'm not paying Jameis Winston anything. But in this instance, I still think the smarter play, you're not getting the number one seed. Play Taysom Hill against the Chiefs. you're really a favorite to meet them again. I would rather let the Chiefs see all this Taysom Hill stuff and then you give them a totally different game. Now, Sean Payton is probably even smarter than me. He's thinking, I am going to meet the Chiefs, but I'm not going to play Taysom Hill at all. So when you see Taysom Hill for the first time in the Super Bowl, you're not going to have any idea what you're getting. Maybe that's the way he's thinking. But the Sean Payton-Taysom Hill relationship to me has always felt like it's 75% genius and mad scientist of Sean Payton and 25% Taysom Hill's talent. Whereas Brady and Belichick, I think we could argue, is 50-50. Mahomes, Andy Reid feels absolutely they're both better with each other. You know, one coach won without him. Mahomes didn't win much without Andy, but there's no question Andy's winning more with him. I think it should be, if you got the right coach and the quarterback, it should be 50-50. Right now, Justin Herbert feels like a 65-35 edge over the coaching staff there. But this one feels like overwhelmingly about the genius mad scientist coach manipulating the marginally talented 30-year-old quarterback who's got a unique skill set, but you don't build around. So Breeze is starting. I like the Saints, by the way, with or without Drew Breeze in this game. Blazing 5 top of next hour. Joey Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, last night was something.
Oh, it was all sorts of good. I was all in on that thing from, I even watched the pregame show last night. I was so into it.
It was so fun. Well, unfortunately for Derek Carr, he left the game with a strained groin and is still being evaluated. It's not looking like he's going to be back anytime soon, as it looks like it might be a little more serious than they thought last night. But Marcus Mariota came in and was on fire. The Raiders did lose, but he threw for 226 yards, 2 total touchdowns. And after the game, he reflected on finally getting back out on the field.
You know, to be truthful, it's been a long journey. You know, I've been through kind of everything, from injuries to surgeries to, you know, mental kind of just lapses and, you know, the confidence thing. And, you know, I just truly appreciate the Raiders and the entire organization for kind of helping me through that.
He was so good in that short little window that, like, social media was talking about where he's going to end up.
Well,
the starting quarterback next year.
Now, I've got a real strong opinion on this later in the show. I'm going to do a Marcus Mariota segment later in the show. But I will say this. He's always been big and fast.
Yeah.
There's an electricity to the way he plays. And I do believe last night that general managers around the league saw him and thought, in a pinch, we can make him a franchise guy for 2 years.
Right. But the key to that sentence was in a pinch and for a few years. So we like to overreact to fun.
Joy, it was a standalone NFL game.
Exactly.
This is what we do. And so we go nuts. And I do think he has starter talent.
Well, he does.
He's always had that.
Plenty of starting experience.
And he's a good dude. People in the league like him. I know.
Yes.
I have a friend of a friend, and he's a good dude.
To me, and listen, they still lost. So let's keep it all in perspective.
Right.
But I do think what he showed is how valuable it can be to have a good backup quarterback.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, the backup quarterback position, and I don't know why we didn't kind of always subscribe to this, is extremely valuable.
He is the most talented backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
He is significantly more talented as a quarterback than Taysom Hill, who everybody's into now.
And, I mean, the Saints are a good example of how important it is to have to invest in a valuable backup quarterback. If you're a team that is competing for championships, you should have a great backup quarterback. I wish the Steelers had invested in a strong backup quarterback.
I had somebody else tell me 2 nights ago, Sam Darnold, Pittsburgh, keep your eye on it. They said, like, they can't go from Ben to what they have. They probably need to get a kid that, if he has to start 2 games, can win one.
I don't understand why they didn't do it this offseason. They were in the playoff conversation last year with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges.
Yeah.
You should have learned the lesson then that you should have a strong backup quarterback.
And the backup should play a little bit like your starter.
Yeah.
And Darnold, is kind of an athlete, who an ad libber, and so is Ben. Your backup should look a little and play a little like RG3 and Lamar.
Yes.
They should be a little like each other. You don't have to change your offensive system with a backup.
I was happy for Marcus Mariota, though. Like, it was yeah. really fun to watch.
You could tell joy from his body language. He was so thankful yes. to play football.
Yeah.
He was having so much fun playing
and
football.
And he had a little confidence, yeah. a little swag. He doesn't usually play like that. So Jalen Hurts took over the Eagles' starting job this last week and led the team to a big win over the Saints. And he'll get his second start this week against the Cardinals. This is a sneaky good game this weekend. And Doug Peterson revealed how he's seen Carson Wentz help the rookie even after getting benched.
I just see the communication, number one, you know, at practice, during games, just the communication, the dialogue back and forth, obviously through press, through myself. You know, just that communication, and that's the one gauge that you know, tends to lead, you know, things in the right direction, and that's what I've been seeing.
Hurts has also said that Wentz has been, quote, very supportive.
On the sidelines, he looks like he is.
I think, I had to think about it a little bit when I read this story. What kind of person wouldn't be supportive? Now, I understand privately you might feel some type of way.
Oh, Joy, there's a lot of guys are different. You women are more supportive. Women support women. Guys don't support guys.
Okay, but what kind of teammate are you? Well, if the second that you aren't out there, you're trying to sabotage the most important guy on the field.
Well, you've gone to sabotage. I would say there's a difference between sabotaging.
Okay, but if Jalen Hurts has like a question in the quarterback room, right? And Wentz, no, maybe there's no such thing as like the answer, but Wentz knows what to do in that situation or whatever, like, or it's on the sideline and whatever, like in the heat of the game. And Wentz is like, well, I know what to tell him what to do, but I got benched, so I'm not going to help him.
Hey, listen,
like, that hurts your team.
Listen, Westbrook and Harden are great friends. They couldn't work together because they weren't helping. They weren't sabotaging it. But it's amazing when you get into guys, they're in the prime of their career. Guys, in a lot of times, very professionally driven. I wouldn't say sabotage, but I wouldn't say they're got your back either.
I don't know. I guess, listen, I'm a very petty person, but if in the end it's going to hurt the whole collective me not to contribute, then I'm going to do that. Like, things change
very
quickly.
Oh, that's the golden rule in life.
So
everything changes in life every 6 months. Hopefully not your marriage, but everything else changes.
I mean, change is the only guarantee in life.
That's right.
So if you're not aware that things could flip on to you like that, like, I don't know, I'm sure it happens. It's just, I'm glad that he's doing it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised because that seems to be his personality anyway. So the Rockets have reportedly expanded James Harden trade talks beyond the teams he prefers. Several playoff caliber teams in the East and the West are said to be comfortable including high level assets in a trade for Harden. They're also less concerned about bringing him in without the assurance that he will re-sign with the team once he becomes a free agent.
Yeah.
So sources are saying that the Rockets have multiple ongoing discussions and have been communicating with Harden about those scenarios.
Philadelphia is obviously the best fit.
It is, but Daryl Morey denied it, said they're not trading Ben Simmons. He's an important part of our future. And listen, like, we love Daryl Morey.
He denies everything.
But I'm also just, it doesn't matter. Like, he has to say that at this point because he can't go out there and say, like, yes, we are actively shopping him and this is what we're looking to do. So, like, what's he supposed to say?
Harden's the kind of talent that could disrupt many good teams. He would absolutely help Philadelphia.
I think he would help Philadelphia.
No question. He's a way better fit. They'd have an inside-outside game. And by the way, it's an easy guy to trade because Simmons isn't playing well. He's not popular. He doesn't have it would be hard to trade Embiid in Philly because he's liked. He's great and liked. Simmons is an easy trade piece. He's talented, so you're getting something with him, but he's not popular. His game is stalled, and he doesn't fit. So to me, this is, if I'm Houston, I take Ben Simmons, a bunch of picks, and give me a shooter, and you just...
I also like the East loading up with stars.
Yeah.
It's really becoming that.
It's like Nick Wright said, the minute LeBron went west, everybody said, get me out of here.
Well, it might be something to that. But also, obviously, the Heat have been in the conversation for a possible trade with James Harden.
Yeah.
Reportedly, Duncan Robinson is a sticking point because they want him, and the Heat don't want to include him in any trades.
I don't blame him. He can hit threes. I don't blame him. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Senior NFL reporter for Monday Morning Quarterback, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Albert Breer, as connected as anybody who does this for a living. So, you know, I was saying, when Andrew Luck, when you get a great quarterback, Albert, it creates clarity. Like with Andrew Luck, you knew if he wasn't winning or scoring, you got the wrong coach, the wrong coordinator, or the wrong offensive line or GM. I feel that with Herbert, that he makes the game look so easy. It should not look this easy. It didn't look this easy for Tua, for Burrow, for Josh Allen. So the question becomes, they're not winning enough. Does it fall on Anthony Lynn? Will they get a new coach?
I think so. I don't think it's going to happen until the day after the season. If you look at the Spanos' history, they've always liked to take their time on this and make those sorts of decisions with a full season to assess things. It happened that way with Norv Turner. It happened that way with Mike McCoy. And my expectation is it's going to happen that way again with Anthony Lynn. They're going to take the full season in and then make a decision. But I do think they'll move on. And Colin, it's like you said, like they're going to be moving into a critical time for the franchise. That is a golden opportunity that they're going to have in front of them to build around a quarterback of this level on a rookie contract. We saw how the Rams, the Chiefs, the Eagles took advantage of that sort of dynamic in recent years. So this becomes a very attractive job for whoever the next guy is. And so I think that they're going to hire somebody that's got quarterback background. And some of the names I've already heard are interesting ones. Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. How about this nugget, Colin? He went to high school with the GM of the Chargers, Tom Telesco. And then Panthers offensive coordinator Joe Brady is another name that's got some low-level buzz for that Charger job. Obviously, he's done a great job the last couple of years with quarterbacks, with Joe Burrow last year at LSU, and then, of course, this year with Teddy Bridgewater.
By the way, I don't know if it would happen. I think Mike Zimmer's a really good coach. If it went sideways, my first choice would be Mike Zimmer of the Vikings. We have a history in this league. Star quarterback, defensive coach.
Yeah. That's true.
We do. Have you heard anything on Mike Zimmer? Because I think he's a good coach, but I think he's intense. Some people think he's stubborn. He hasn't won enough. Would Minnesota make a mistake and get rid of him?
I don't think so. Okay. I think that was on the table at the end of last year.
Yes.
I'm told the extensions that he and Rick Spielman got in Minnesota, the general manager there, those are real extensions.
Okay.
And Zimmer's making north of $8 million, and he's under contract for the next few years.
Okay.
So, in these conditions, I mean, Minnesota would have to swallow a lot of cash to get rid of Mike Zimmer. My expectation is that Mike Zimmer is going to survive there and get another year. This is obviously a little bit of a turning the page year. And they have made some progress with some of the young players. There are some young pieces in place now, guys like Justin Jefferson and Jeff Gladney. So my expectation is that Mike Zimmer is going to survive there.
I want to say this about Gruden. I know John and I like him, but Brian Billick and him are both offensive guys. They both win a Super Bowl, but Billick doesn't have the big star personality. Gruden does, and he leverages TV stardom into another job. Once again, his team, and this happened in Tampa. It's happened now a couple years. They're bad. They deteriorate. That is generally not the sign of great coaching in the NFL. Is it possible with Gruden, he's more media maven than football guru, and that he's okay, but we've overstated his brilliance?
I think he's still a good football coach, Colin. I think the question with him going back 15 years has been handling personnel, developing young players. Like, if you look, like, he had older teams in Oakland the first time around. And then with Tampa, the one he won the Super Bowl with was a very veteran team. He took over from Tony Dungy. Where he's struggled in the past is identifying and developing young talent. And that's what's so interesting about this time around with the Raiders, and that's what they went all in on. They piled up assets. They traded away Khalil Mack. They traded away Amari Cooper. And they really went all in on going young. And so they've got a very young defensive group now. They've got some youth on the offense. And now it's on John Gruden to develop that talent and maximize that young talent. And again, it's a very different looking roster than what he won with when he was at his peak back 20 years ago. And so that's what's so interesting about it. I think that's what the Raiders really have to assess now too, is what sort of job is he doing developing and getting that young talent in a position to win. And again, I don't think he's in any sort of jeopardy right now. This was Mark Davis' white whale.
Oh, yeah.
You know, landing him. And the contract is prohibitive, I think, to have to move on from him after this year, especially in these conditions with the pandemic. But I think the questions that you're asking, there are real questions that go back beyond just this tenure with the Raiders.
So the Taysom Hill, Drew Brees thing, I think, is fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I have theorized this week, is I would play Taysom Hill against the Chiefs. because the Saints aren't going to get a number one seed. They're uniquely built to win on the road, unlike most Saints teams. It's about defense, coaching, and they can pound it. And I think it's – I wouldn't let you see Breeze Saints. I want to see Mahomes. You don't get to see us with Breeze. And then part of me thinks this morning, flip the telescope around. What they don't want to do is potentially face the Chiefs and let them see any of Taysom Hill for the 12 plays in this. Okay, am I overthinking it on the Breeze-Taysom Hill stuff?
I think you're getting in your own head a little bit there, Colin, huh? I mean, you took it one way, and then you took it another level. I think really this is a team that's in a window right now to compete for a championship. They're way over the cap next year. They're going to have to make some big decisions on certain guys coming out of this year. That 2017 draft class, they got Alvin Kamara signed up, but they're going to have to take care of guys like Ryan Ramczyk and Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams. And so this is really it for this particular group of players. And I think that they got to do everything they can to get in position to try and get home field. And that means getting Drew Brees back on the field. And you say that home field isn't as big a deal, right? Like, and I understand what you're saying, that this style of Saints team is a little different, a little bit more equipped to win in all conditions. Well, the number one seed right now is the Green Bay Packers. I actually think the Packers' home field advantage is enhanced by the conditions that we're all in right now. Because can you think of a more miserable place to go play a football game than in the dark in January in an empty stadium in Wisconsin? I mean, I look at this, like, I think teams like Buffalo and Green Bay, I'm serious about this, Colin, like I think that like their home field advantage is enhanced, because if you're a team that goes into Green Bay or goes into Buffalo in those conditions, right? And now all of a sudden you maybe fall behind 10-0, 14-0 early on. I mean, that could be a very, very miserable place to try to come back. So I think right now the Saints have to do everything that they possibly can. And I know they are doing everything they possibly can to try and get that number one seed back and make the NFC playoffs go through the Superdome. I think the idea of going to Lambeau for anybody right now, especially a team that plays its games indoors, it's going to be a tall task come January.
All right. I thought a lot of the Harbaugh, I want to do coaching rumor real about a minute of this. So I thought a little of the, it's funny about college coaches that make a lot of money. Whenever their job's in jeopardy, their name suddenly pops up for NFL jobs as leverage. So I didn't buy the Harbaugh NFL stuff, although I do think he could coach in the NFL, but I thought it was a little gamesmanship and agent stuff. Just New York Jets today. What do we feel like here? I don't know. Trevor Lawrence, to me, opens the door to college coaches like a Lincoln Riley in New York.
I don't know that it would be Lincoln Riley. I would keep your eye on Matt Campbell. The old front office presented Matt Campbell's name to ownership 2 years ago when they wound up hiring Adam Gase. Now, if you remember, that Matt Campbell wound up saying no to an interview there, but they went through it. They vetted him. They really liked him. And the Christopher Johnson and the guys, you know, in charge in New York have a full idea of what Matt Campbell, the Iowa State coach, can do. And so that's the one name at the college level that seems realistic to me. He's done so much with less at Iowa State. And I mean, Joe Douglas, he made his bones in his road to becoming a general manager on the college scouting trail. So he's got a really, really good understanding of the way things work at that level. And among NFL scouts, there are very few coaches who are more well-respected than Matt Campbell. So if they're going to go down the college road, I mean, we've mentioned Jim Harbaugh's name there because Woody Johnson has a little bit of an infatuation with him. Obviously, Joe Douglas worked with Jim Harbaugh's brother in Baltimore. But if we're going to get like a little bit more realistic here, I think a name that would be realistic for the Jets might be Matt Campbell.
Good stuff, Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Good seeing you, bud.
Awesome. Thanks, Colin. Have a good weekend.
Blazing Five, I love my picks, top of the hour. And coming up next, Kansas City sits around and watch Justin Herbert. And don't kid yourself. They are aware in Kansas City the value of not having to face Justin Herbert twice a year if the Chargers get the right coach. And I want to talk about that, extrapolate more on that coming up, plus Blazing Five.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Owner, rent a home? Geico makes it easy. Bundle your home and car insurance. Get a quote today, geico.com. Geico.com, Blazing Five, top of the hour. Love my picks. Patrick Mahomes is favored to win the Super Bowl. We warn him to not waste opportunities, because when you watch Justin Herbert last night, You're going to face him twice a year. And if they end up getting a coach, a dynamic coach, a Brian Daboll, or better, that is an absolute roadblock to winning Super Bowls. And I was thinking about this morning. If you look at the AFC and NFC, and I said, okay, where are the young quarterback stars? I'm not going to count the Bens and the Brees and the Bradys. The young quarterback stars, they're all in the AFC. These are 25 and younger. Josh Allen, Tua. Say what you want about Baker. He's productive when he has a good offensive line. Lamar, Burrow, Deshaun, Patrick, Mahomes, Herbert. And I'm going to put Trevor Lawrence on. I believe he's transcendent and succeeds despite the Jets. That's like 8-9 guys. In the NFC, there's Jared Goff and Kyler Murray. If I'm going to count Baker, I'm going to count Jared Goff, whose Goff has been better to this point. But the NFC's got a lot of, you know, it's got Aaron's older, and Brady's older, and Brees is older, and Stafford's older, and Matt Ryan's, oh. And so what does this mean? This is the roadblock, the impediment for Patrick Mahomes. I'm not even counting Justin Fields, who's going to end up in Jacksonville, who I think, unless Jacksonville butchers the coaching hire, I think the Jets could hire the wrong coach, and Trevor Lawrence is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be Andrew Luck. He's going to be great. I don't think Justin Fields is that kind of kid. I think he needs the right coach to be great. I don't think he's a Justin Herbert talent. I don't think he's that good. I think he's good. So if they get the right coach, there's another one. Not to mention, all these other quarterbacks could go to AFC, but I won't count that. So the seven highest passer ratings right now in the NFL for quarterbacks 26 or younger, they're all AFC. This is your roadblock. Okay, I'm not counting in this Joe Burrow, who we love and will be in that. Okay, the deep, dark secret of Tom Brady's success was the bad quarterback playing his division. So he always won his division. He got a bye and then played a low seed at home in Foxborough. And if he won the game, he was in the conference championship. That is why I love Tom. Tommy's got a 500 playoff road record. It's a whole different ballgame going on the road, facing good quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Big Ben. This is the secret, and I love Aaron Rodgers. But one of the great advantages to Aaron Rodgers, since he was named the starter, the Vikings have had 14 quarterbacks. The Bears have had 14 quarterbacks. And it feels like Matt Stafford's talented, but he's had 14 head coaches, it feels like. That is a big advantage. Aaron gets a bye. Aaron plays at Lambeau. It's cold weather. He's used to it. He just has to win a playoff game, and he's in the conference championship. He's done that less than Brady. But this is the big secret to all this stuff. Is that I've always said this. Part of Nick Saban's success is, most of his time, LSU can't get the coach right. Tennessee can't get the coach right. Auburn can't get the coach right. Florida finally has the coach right. Because Urban Meyer left and they ran through guys. When Pete Carroll was crushing it at USC, only Cal had the right coach. Washington had the wrong guy. UCLA was a mess. Stanford had a bad coach. The minute Oregon got Chip Kelly and Harbaugh went to Stanford, Pete Carroll started losing. You need breaks for this. I've said before, one of the great breaks of Michael Jordan is in hockey. Chicago is in the West. But in the NBA, Chicago's in the East. He didn't have to go through Magic in his prime for years. He didn't have to. He didn't have to go through a lot of the... When he was going against the Pistons in their prime, he couldn't beat them. Going against the Celtics in their prime, he couldn't beat them. They got old. So sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying Michael wouldn't have been the best player of all time. I'm saying there are geographical advantages. There are divisional advantages. Mahomes, Herbert's a baby and may not have the right coach now. But if you start looking at over the next 10 years, Mahomes is going to face significantly better quarterbacks than a guy like Aaron Rodgers or a young guy like Jared Goff is going to face, because Brady's going to be around for a couple of years. Now Brees is gone, but Matt Ryan, Stafford, there's a lot. NFC's got a lot of quarterbacks that are good, not great, and they're expensive and teams are tied to them. So it is amazing. The seven highest passer ratings in the NFL right now, 26 or younger, all AFC. And Burrow's coming back, and here comes Trevor Lawrence. So it's a disruptor. It is in the way. Greatness generally happens. Part of it's you, and half of it is people around you screwing up. Nobody's that smart. All right. Blazing 5, hour 2 on the way, live in Los Angeles on a Friday. This is The Herd.